God bless you. I want you to find your place in two separate places today. Matthew chapter 6, that's where we'll spend most of our time today. Matthew 6, and then Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6 and Philippians chapter 4. Okay? I want you to find your place in Matthew chapter 6. Am I a little loud? Okay, if you'll turn me down just a little bit. Or maybe a lot. Let me keep talking loud. Everything good? Better? Everything good, friends? Now, I'm going to get louder than this right here, so everything's good, right? Thank you very much up there. God bless you. Appreciate their faithfulness up there. I tell you, what a blessing they are. They've got one of them jobs that it's behind the scenes unless something goes wrong, you know what I mean? And I appreciate your service up there. God bless you. You're doing a great job, and I appreciate it. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse number 25. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Look at verse number 31. "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Verse 34. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." There's a phrase here where it says, take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. And today I preach to you on the stronghold of worry. The stronghold of worry. Let's pray together. I share this thought with you. Father, we love you, and I pray that you'll help us to be faithful to you and your word. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean. And I do pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll help me to do a sufficient job today in opening the word of God, explaining what you've already said. May we truly get help from God today. Help me not to add to it, take away from it, but simply preach what you've already written down in your precious word. Challenge us today, I pray. We give this day to you. Thank you for giving it to us. May many people, may all of us, get spiritual help from this message. In Jesus' name, amen. There is no doubt that one of the most common struggles in a person's life is the struggle of worry. Worry, Webster puts it this way, is to make troubled or uneasy. To be anxious. It's been said that most worry sometime, some worry a lot of time, and a small elite worry all the time. Now I wonder, where do you fall in this statement? People have a tendency to worry about many things. They can worry about life in general. They worry about money. They worry about materials. They worry about health. They worry about safety. They worry about family. They worry about future. On and on and on we could go. And with the direction the world is going and the direction our country's going and the direction all these things are going, if you're not careful, you're going to fall into the depths of despair and worry yourself to death. Maybe you've heard about the man who constantly worried that he was going to be paralyzed. And one day he was eating out and the lady overheard him speaking, saying to himself something like this, "I knew it would happen. I knew it would happen. I can't feel that. I can't feel it. I knew I'd get paralyzed." The lady tapped him on the shoulder and said, "I just thought you might want to know that's my leg you're pinching under the table." Now don't get me tickled now. I'm going to have a hard time preaching after that. If you know, the harder you laugh, the worse it is me getting back on track here. There's a Swedish proverb. Now we're preaching on the Bible. I know you didn't come to hear a Swedish proverb, but there's a Swedish proverb that says this: worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. Well, that's a great statement. Mark Twain said this, and I quote, "I'm an old man and have known a great many troubles, but most of them never happened." Did you hear that? I'm an old man and have known many troubles, but most of them never happened. Now notice closely verse 32, which says, "Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." In this statement, we see that human beings even go so far as to worry about the things that God has promised to provide for His children. Therefore, we see that worry, now get it now, I'm not preaching at you today. I'll be honest with you, this is something I deal with. And I know I shouldn't, but I deal with it. And I battle it, and all these kind of things. But let me simply say this to all of us. We see in our text today that worry is simply lack of faith in God. That's a Bible definition of worry. See, worry is when we try to, now get this. Don't miss this now. I'm going to give you a three-point outline here in a minute. Just simple words to keep in mind. But let me say this. Get this. Worry is when we try to take the responsibilities that are God's out of His hands and put them in our own. It's not relying on the Lord and His promises. Worry is when we betray God's existence. When we live as if God is not real and His promises are of none effect. Now get this, let's not sugarcoat it. Worry is sin. The reason we know this is because in verse 25, 31, and 34, which I read for you, we are commanded to take no thought for your life. You know what that phrase means, take no thought? It means don't worry. It means don't be anxious. Don't worry. Now, with all this being said, it's sin. It's betraying the existence of God. It's taking responsibilities that's in God's hands and it's taking them out of His hands and putting them in our own hands. With all this being said, most, if not all, still waste time worrying, even though we know it's wrong and we know it's against the Lord. Therefore, today, I want to show you from the Word of God. I'm going to give you two thoughts here in Matthew, one thought in Philippians, we'll go there last, where there is victory in times of worry. When you find yourself worrying, anxious, I call it the what if syndrome. What if that happens, or what if this takes place, or what if that, or what's going to happen next, and what's going to happen to our country, and what if this, and what if that. If you catch yourself doing that, let me give you a three-point outline. This is so simple, it's ridiculous. I'm not embarrassed to give it to you because I'm a simple preacher. But when you catch yourself worrying, three things to do. Here it is. Number one. Perceive. You say, what's this mean? Look at verse 25 and following of Matthew chapter 6. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? What's the biblical answer to that? Nobody. Nobody can. In other words, you can't change it. And if you worry about it, you're wasting time because you cannot change it. Look at verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Here's what I mean by perceive. The reason I'm using this is because I'm trying to give you three words that begin with P so you can remember this outline. Perceive. In our text, we see several things the Lord wants us to understand. That's what the word perceive means. Understand some things. Consider some things. Realize some things. And may I say to you that in these things, we should note carefully the thoughts that are being presented in order to help us see what a waste of time it is to sit and worry. Now, the first thing that we're to perceive that's in these verses, this is found in verses 25 to 32, is we are to perceive when we worry. Oh, what's going to happen? Oh, what if this takes place? Oh, what's going to happen here? When you find yourself doing that, perceive, first of all, the Father's care. The Father's care.
See, in these verses, verses 25 to 32, we see the tender care of the Heavenly Father that should help us not to worry about the necessities of life. In verse number 25, it's mentioned how the life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. Now, in this statement, we see that it's being brought out how life is given by God. And since life is God's gift, now get this, your life is a gift from God. God has gifted you and gifted me with life. And here's what these verses are saying. Since God gives the gift of life, He also promises to meet the needs for that life to be taken care of. Now, to further illustrate this, He gives some Bible illustrations concerning nature. He talks about the birds and the flowers. I call it the fowls and flowers. Now, I want you to think with me, first of all, in verse number 26, this is all under perceive the Father's care, that He cares about you. Hey, He's not against you. He's for you. He's with you. He wants to take care of you. And the very life that you have now, the very air that you breathe, the clothes that you wear, that's God taking care of His children. Now, this being the case, stay with me here. The first illustration He gives to really drive this home is the fowls of the air, verse 20, number 26. Now, in this verse is given the illustration of the birds of the air that do not sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Now, let me ask you a question. I had a picture, and I can't find it. I wish I could. And I was going to show it up here. It shows a cartoon worried bird just sitting out there perching. His feathers had fallen out and everything. He's just worried about where he's going to get his next meal. So just picture that a minute. Let me ask you a question. When's the last worried bird that's flown on your windowsill? You ever open your windows in the morning? What do you hear? You hear them chirping. You don't hear them groaning saying, where's my next meal coming? Now friends, listen to me. Every time that you see a bird fly through the air, and every time you open your windows and there they are chirping, God's saying that should remind you that you mean so much more to me than the birds. And if I will take time to feed them, don't you think I'll take time to take care of you? Now, folks, I could close my Bible. We could go home right there, and that's enough. Now, that's the truth. Said the robin to the sparrow, I really do not know why it is these human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Spurgeon put it this way, God who gives you heaven will not deny you bread on the road either. Oh, I like that statement. God who's going to give you heaven, He's not going to deny His provision in the journey. Second thing He illustrates here, just to show His care, the Father's care, perceive the Father's care, the birds of the air. Then He said, the flowers of the field. This second illustration that He gives is that of the lilies of the field. Lilies are beautiful flowers. He mentioned how these flowers, they neither toil. Back in this day, that's man's work. They neither spin. Back in this day, that's woman's work. And yet they're clothed with more splendor than Solomon in all of his glory. By the way, how anybody can look at a wildflower, any kind of a flower, but especially like a lily or something, how they can look at a flower and think there is no God is beyond me. I mean, think about just the flowers that God has put upon this earth. Think about how the leaves change colors. Reminded about the missionary that came this last Wednesday night. He was a Cuban national. By the way, we took him on for support. Amen. We brought him on. I had peace about that. By the way, we brought 17 new missionary families on for support last week. 17 of them. I'm still waiting on two more because I can't get a hold of them by phone. One of them's over in China. One of them's over in Honduras. And I'm just waiting on an email response from them. You say, what's that? That's us trying to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. But he was talking Wednesday night about how over in Cuba, their trees don't change colors. He said, it's beautiful, but it just stays green all the time. But he said here, when he came to America, he was noticing the beautiful colors on the trees. And he said something like this. He said, it just looks like somebody just took a brush and just painted your trees. See, we take things like that for granted. Who paints the trees, friends? You take the flowers of the field. And he says this. He says, I have arrayed the flowers of the field with more splendor than King Solomon. Solomon was the richest man at that time, maybe the richest man that's ever lived. I don't know. He had all these beautiful things that he arrayed and dressed and his kingdom and all these kind of, and God says, on one little flower that today is here and tomorrow's in the oven. Read it. In other words, listen, that flower's not going to last long, but I take so much time to make it even more beautiful than King Solomon himself. And he's saying this. He says, your life is so much more important than a flower that is here today and gone tomorrow. And he's saying, if I take that time to clothe the flowers, how much more am I going to clothe you? How much more am I going to take care of you? There's a man that it would be good for you to read after. I've read after him some. Matter of fact, I think it's a two-volume set that Preacher has that he let me read. This has been several years ago on George Mueller. You think about the name George Mueller, you're talking about a prayer warrior. A man who got all kinds of answers. I'm talking about direct answer to prayer. Direct answer to prayer. Answers to prayer, something like this. This has been verified. Of course, I may have some details off because I don't have this in my notes, but you'll get the basic gist. All the orphans were coming for a certain meal. They had no bread. They said, what are we going to do? He said, put them in line. And before they knew it, there was a bread truck that broke down outside of that orphanage. And he came in and said, I've got all this bread. And it's going to go to waste. Can you use it? You say, why are you saying this about George Mueller? Because these promises about the birds and the flowers, it says right here that George Mueller based his whole life on trusting God on these two great promises concerning birds and lilies. In other words, he basically said, God, if you can do that for the birds and flowers, surely you can do that for me. Now I know that what you're hearing, we understand it's true, we know it's true. Hard to live sometimes, though, isn't it? What I'm saying is just trusting God. Just resting in God. When your heart feels like it's outside of your chest because it's been ripped out. And you've got something that you've never had to face before. And some of you may be looking, I hope not, but some of you may be looking up here saying, boy, it's easy for him right now. He's not going through what I'm going through. And you'd be right. I'd have to say that's true. But as your pastor, I'm trying to encourage you today that your Heavenly Father thinks a whole lot more about you than he does the birds. And he thinks a whole lot more about you than he does the lilies. But if he's going to take time to feed them and clothe them, he's going to take time to care for you. That's a guaranteed fact. Amen, friends. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. We're looking at the first point, perceive. It's the longest one, so relax. Perceive, first of all, the Father's care. Secondly, perceive the Father's knowledge. We see this in verse number 32. This verse tells us that our Heavenly Father already knows that we have need for food and clothing. In other words, He is well aware of the necessities of the life that He has given us. And since He knows, He can take care of these needs. Now, after these thoughts, the Lord Jesus tells us in verse number 34 to take one day at a time. That's what He says. Take therefore no thought, verse 34, of tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, here's what he's saying. He's saying God knows what you need today. He knows what you need today. And he's saying, don't look ahead to tomorrow. Because that only adds to today's necessities. You know what worry is? It's living beyond what God has promised. Did you hear what I just said? God has promised help for today. Worry is what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going to happen in 6 hours? What's going to happen when I get home? You're not there yet. Don't live in the future. Live now. And here's what God's saying. God knows what you need at this very moment, and he has promised to give you what you need. Even if it's not what you want, he can help you through it. In other words, what we need sometimes is just his peace, his comfort, his help. And whatever it is you're going through today, don't look at tomorrow. Where's this going to lead? What's going to happen? That may never come. But what is here now, God has promised to meet that need now. Today, right now. What is your need? What is your need? I need to know what's going to happen to me. I can't answer that. I need to know what if this, I can't answer that. But what I can answer is that every day God gives us to breathe his air, he has promised to meet our needs that very day. That's what the Bible's teaching. Take no thought for tomorrow. For every day has sufficient evil to deal with. Now, let me kind of summarize this. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Here's what John Newton said, and I quote, "We can easily manage if we will only take each day the burden appointed to it. But the load will be too heavy for us if we carry yesterday's burden over again today and then add the burden of tomorrow before we're required to bear it." In other words, God has promised for every day he'll give you the strength and everything you need to fulfill his will for that day. Even if it's death, God will meet your need for that day. He'll meet you right where you need to be. He has promised to provide every day what we need. And here's what the devil does. Look what just happened. Reach back there and grab that. And you do that and you add it to today. Look over there in the future. Look what's happening. What's going to happen to you? What's going to happen with all of this stuff going on? So you reach up here and grab something that's not there yet and you put it on the plate for today, and God says, I'm going to take care of your needs today. But if you add from the past and add from the future, I have no promises for that. Do you understand what that is? Living one day at a time. One person put it this way, do not be afraid of tomorrow, for God is already there. Now you're not, but sometimes we try to live in tomorrow, don't we? Do you think God knows what tomorrow holds? Do you think God's going to be thrown off course with anything that happens? Do you think that God is just one day going to say, I didn't see that coming? No. And all he says to his children is, don't live in tomorrow. That's my realm. Don't live in the past. Live right now. Because right now is a gift from God. And I will give you everything you need for right now. In summary, the cure for worry, number one, is to perceive that the Father cares for you and to understand that he knows what your needs are, and we're to live one day at a time, realizing that God will provide what we need that given day. Even if it's bad news, God can still give what you need for that moment. That's just the way he is. Romans 8:32, listen to this. He that spared not his own son, talking about God the Father, he that spared not his own son, capital S, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, if he didn't withhold his own son, there is nothing else he's not willing to hold back either. Number one, perceive, understand, realize God loves you, God knows what you need, and he's promised to meet those needs every single day he gives you life. You with me so far? If you're not, I'm going to start over again. Everybody with me there, right? Number two, these next two points are not long, at least not as long as that point. Number one, perceive. Number two, prioritize. You say, what's this mean? Look at verse number 19 of our text, Matthew chapter 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God mammon. What's the next word in verse number 25? Therefore. Anytime you look at the word therefore, look and see what it's there for. In other words, that, what he's talking about, take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. He just tied it to what I just read. Stay with me. Look at verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If someone listening right now is a worry wart, don't take that as I'm calling you a wart, as you know that. I'm saying a wart. Everybody understand what I'm saying? If anybody listening now is a worry wart, struggling with the stronghold of worry, the best counsel I know to give is given in these verses. Notice in verse 19 to 24, they tell us to lay up treasure in heaven. Don't serve God and mammon. Verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, in a nutshell, here's what these verses are teaching us. Take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. Let me tell you how to do it. The cure for worry is to get up, get busy for God, and put him first in your life. In other words, be more interested in the things of God and living a holy life for the glory of God. Let me explain. When you think about worry, now be honest. When we look at worry, what are we really worrying about? Me? My children? My future? My health? My country? Me, myself, and I? Here's what these verses are saying. When you catch yourself worrying, get your eyes off yourself and put them on to God. Stop worrying so much about your life and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see what he's saying here? For instance, have you ever heard this? Don't worry, be happy. You ever heard that? Don't worry, be happy. It needs to be changed. Don't worry, be holy. That's what God's saying. Don't worry. Do something for God. You catch yourself worrying about the future, then today give God everything, realizing that if tomorrow doesn't come, at least you brought glory to God the day he gave you. Simple. Hard to live. But what Bible advice it is. It's been said that worry can be the beginning of serving mammon, the seed of following another god. For instance, if you're worried about your future, then at that moment, and it's normal, it's natural. But when you catch yourself worrying about the future, what you're saying at that moment is that, boy, I'm awful important. I'm really important. And God's saying this. When you catch yourself worrying, take yourself off the throne of your heart and let God have his rightful place. People say, I must have food, I must have drink, I must have clothes, I must have shoes for my children, I must have good health, I must have this, I must have that. But we must first decide, I must have a relationship with God. I must have faith. I must be more holy. I must live godly. Can I say this to you? And I know that I could be opening myself up here, but I'm saying this because I mean it. If God would receive more glory from giving me an infirmity than me just being all healthy, which I'm not all healthy. I've got problems. I know what you're thinking, mental and all. I understand. Can I say this to you? God's glory is to be top priority. No matter what. No matter what. Somehow, some way, what you are worrying about can be turned into a praise offering to God. Somehow, some way. If you're worried today, get up, get busy for God, live the holy life that God is pleased with. Number three, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're looking at a three-point outline. When you catch yourself worrying, perceive. Understand God cares about you and he knows what you need and he's promised to meet your needs on a daily basis. Whatever today is, God has promised to meet your needs. Even if what he's promised is not what you want, it's still what you need. You understand what I'm saying to you? Today. Number two, prioritize. Realize that when you're worrying, something's off somewhere. Self means too much at that moment. God has been dethroned in your heart. He's still on his throne, but I'm talking about on the throne of your heart, he's been removed and now you're sitting on it. And God's saying when you catch yourself worrying, get off the throne and let me have my rightful place. Prioritize. Then number three, simple, pray. Pray. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, notice this. Be careful for nothing. Sound familiar? Take no thought. Be careful for nothing. It means the same thing. It means don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. May I say this to you? There's troubles that hit everybody. I've had my share of them. I know the longer I live, I'll have more troubles. There's no doubt about it. Everybody has troubles. Everybody doesn't have the same troubles, but everybody has troubles. Everybody does. Because we live in a world that's under a curse. Aren't you glad this is not our final home? Amen, friends. Amen. I'm so glad this is not I'm glad this is not heaven. Glory. I mean, listen, it's better than hell, I know that. But I'm sure glad this is not heaven. I mean, have you ever stopped to think that someday, one of these glorious days, you, if you're saved, if you're born again, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are going to go to the place where God himself lives. God lives there. I'm talking about his immediate presence. I know I've got his Holy Spirit living inside of me, and every now and then I feel his sweet presence, and it's a glorious thing. I'm not talking about that, though. I'm talking about God himself lives there. He's sitting on his throne. His Son sits on His right hand. Try to explain that. I can't. And someday, if you're saved, you are going to see God. Think about that. You're going to see God. I mean, in all of His glory. God, who spoke the worlds into existence. You're going to see Him in a glorified body that He gives you because of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary. And all of this, we see that He's saying here, don't worry, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, coupled, what you said, Brother Gary, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you catch yourself filled with care, filled with worry, turn your eyes upward. Pour your heart out to God in prayer, supplicating before Him. That means that you're coming to Him out of a sense of need and start thanking Him for His blessings down through the years in your life and how He's taken care of you and all the good times He's given you. When you do this, the Word of God says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what that word peace means? It means quietness and rest. You know what people need today? Quietness. You know what they need? Rest. And here's what it says. It says it will keep your hearts and minds. You know what that word keep means? What a powerful word. You know what it means? It means before your heart and mind, He's going to mount a guard. He's going to post spies at the gate of your mind and your heart. And He's going to hem your mind and heart in with a garrison. All in that little word right there. It's been said that care and prayer oppose each other. Therefore, when you're being attacked with care, turn it to prayer. And watch God give you peace. I did not say He'll give you what you're asking. The Word of God doesn't even say that. It says He'll give you what you're asking if it's according to His will. If it's in His name, in other words, if it's something that it's His will to give it to you, you pray, you trust Him, He'll answer with a yes. But this verse right here, it simply says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me challenge you with something. I'm just about done here. But let me challenge you with something. The next time you catch yourself worrying, you worry. There it is. Oh, I'm worried about him. I'm worried about her. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. When you catch yourself doing that, perceive that God loves you. He cares for you. He understands what you need. And He's promised to provide your need that day. Prioritize your life. Make sure if there's something that you're not doing, you should be doing, start it. If there's something that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing, stop it. Prioritize your life and make sure that you're off your heart's throne and God is on your heart's throne. But number three, I challenge you when you find yourself worrying, get alone with God. Get alone with Him. And can I challenge you to start with this? Lord, I just want to thank You for some things You've done for me. And before you know it, there'll be thoughts hitting you of how good He's already been to you. You say, you don't understand what I'm going through now. I know that. But who brought you to now? You don't understand, my heart's outside of my chest. I know that. But you're still here. And God has promised you today that He'll care for you today. What do you worry about? Who do you worry about? Perceive, prioritize, and pray. And beg God to take it away from you. Now, friends, This is one giant leap for mankind for me right there. Matthew 6:27 says this. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to unto his stature? In other words, worry is not only a sin, it's also a waste of God-given time. However, most spend time worrying about something or someone. It is time we don't sit back and allow the sin of worry to take over our hearts and minds. You know where worry rests? In your mind. Trying to embed itself in your heart. But rather we turn our eyes upward and put these Bible principles into practice and continue to use the Word of God as a sword, sticking the devil with verses that deal with worry. Let me simply say this as I'm coming to a close here. This church, if you've been coming for a while, if you were here the particular services that I brought this out, I really went through a time where I was worried and scared and fearful. I'm referring back to my trip right before I went to India. And I told you then that God gave me all kind of verses. And I've already given this out once, I believe, but these are available. Because can I say this to you? Humanly speaking, the devil tries to get you to focus on the fearful times. Heard anything recently where it's made you afraid? Made you scared? Made you worried? You know what God did in my life? Every day, and I realize most of you can't see this, but every day from before I left, when I really got serious with God, until the day I come home, every single day, God gave me a verse that took my fear away. Look at all those verses. There's many of them. Every one of these deal with, hey, I'm with you, don't worry. You know, things like that. I've made this available to you. As you leave today on that table somewhere out there in the lobby, this sheet, it has 2012 mission trip verses is what it has on it, because that it was my mission trip to India. And every one of these verses, if you deal with worry, if you deal with care, if you deal with struggling with this, every one of these verses would be great for you to read in your devotional life this week and ask God to speak to you. And when that worry hits your mind, perceive, prioritize, pray, and pull these verses out and start quoting them out loud. And watch God take care of the rest. I'm telling you, you don't have to live in the pit of worry. You don't have to, friends. You can live above it. But only if you perceive, prioritize, pray, and stick the devil with the sword of God's word. And if you do it, you can live in victory over the stronghold of worry. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you and thank you for this time. Help us, I pray, to understand what was preached. Fill us with your power, your spirit. Show me how to lead this invitation. Would you be pleased? Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly as they possibly can. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I ask you first of all this morning, are you truly a born-again child of God? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Do you know that there's been a time in your life where you've truly been saved? Have you today say, Jody, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm born again. I'm glad I know I'm on my way to heaven. I don't think I am. I don't hope I am. I know I am. I'm a born again child of God. If and only if you know that, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Only if you know that. God bless you. You can put your hands right back down. Is there one today that couldn't raise your hand? You can put your hands down. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I wouldn't embarrass you for anything in this world. But if you're here today and you could not raise your hand, but there's something inside you says, boy, I'd like to raise my hand to that. I don't know I'm truly born again, but I'll tell you one thing, the next time somebody asks that question, I sure would like to be able to put my hand in the air. And you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure about my salvation, but I'd like to be sure. Is there one like that? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? I'm looking. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure about it, but I sure would like to be. I'm not sure about it, but I sure would like to be. Put your hand up, put it right back down. Put it up, put it right back down. God bless you. Thank you. If you raise your hand to that question, we have altar workers prepared to deal with you. Some of you may just be doubting. Some of you just fearing, whatever. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. I want to invite you to come. Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. How many today say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm going to be honest. I struggle with worry. Be an honest person. Would you raise your hand? Be honest. You say, I struggle with this. I really do. That's a lot of you. I would raise my hand to that same question. If you raise your hand to that, I want you to lower it, but I want you to look at me just a moment. Put your hands down, but I want you to look at me. If you struggle with worry, I want you to look right up here. Your pastor does the same thing. It's a stronghold that the devil tries to use in my life. It really is. It really is. Doesn't make it right, I know. But can I say this to you? What I preach to you today, I'm trying to live it. Can I say this to you? It works. Doesn't beat you up when there's something in your life that you know is wrong and you're trying to do something about it. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's time that if you're looking at me right now, it's time that you call it for what it is. It's not right. It's not good. It is sin. And the reason I'm talking so strongly about it is because I deal with it. It's insane. And I know that it's not right. I believe you do too, don't you? The devil's a master trying to get you to think there's no help. You're going to struggle with this until God calls you home. Can I say this to you? You may. I'm not saying it's going to be a quick fix. I'm not saying, hey, you do this and, boy, the devil's going to leave you alone. No, hey, he might turn the heat up on you when you leave. But I'm just simply trying to tell you that you don't have to live in that pit. Because if you're anything like me, you don't want to have it. You don't want that. You know it's a waste of time. You don't want it. What are you going to do with it? Perceive. God cares about you. He cares about you more than he does the birds and the flowers. Hey, he knows what you have need of. And if he's going to take that much time to feed the birds and clothe the flowers, don't you think he's going to take care of you today? Sure he is. Hey, prioritize your life. Is there anything that God's pricking your heart saying that needs to go? That needs to start. You need to start that. You need to stop this. Hey, right there, prioritize. And then get on your face and say, God, thank you for what you've done already. And my supplication, my prayer is, God, give me deliverance from this. Let me ask you a question. Is it God's will for you to live in victory over worry? Yes or no? Yes. So believe that he'll answer that prayer. That is one prayer that you can pray in faith, saying, God, give me victory, and trust God, and he'll give you victory. It's the will of God for you to live in victory over worry. And then take the word of God. I put a lot of verses in your hands. These are not exhaustive. Get other verses. And whenever those worries hit your thought, get on your face, beg God, get your Bible out, and start turning these verses and read them out loud. Why? Because the devil can't hear your thoughts, but he can hear you speaking the word of God out loud. I'm not saying that you're dealing literally with the devil, because he can only be in one place at one time, but he has a mighty army. You may be dealing with a demon. You may be dealing with an unclean spirit. And I'm going to tell you what they cannot stand. They cannot stand when a spirit-filled believer hits their knees and says, God, give me victory over this. And start reading the word of God, these verses that deal with it. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The peace of God will overflood your soul. And at that moment, God will send them away. They'll be back. They'll be back. What do you do then? Perceive. Glory. Prioritize. Pray. Stick him with the Bible. And the peace of God will fall, and God will take care of it. They'll be back. What do you do? perceive, prioritize, pray, stick him with scripture. You getting the picture, friends? It works 100% of the time. There's victory. Refuse to live in that pit. Get up and do something for God. I want to invite every one of you who are looking at me, every one of you who say, I have a struggle with this, I want to invite every one of you to come to this altar. You say, Jody, do I have to? No. But I want to encourage you to. Wouldn't it be a great thing and a great service for this altar to be filled with people who struggle with worry, but yet they're calling out saying, God, thank you for what you've already done. And take the word of God and use it like a sword. I want you to come. More importantly, if the Lord wants you to come, you come. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it. Help us, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary is going to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you, as Brother Gary sings, would you come now? Would you do it, please?
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight.
Come on.
Rolls a melody sweeter than song.
Talk to God. May the Lord help.
In celestial like strings.
I'm a worry word. I deal with this. Hey, join the crowd.
For my soul.
But there's help. There's help. There's help. There's help. Several of our men, maybe some of our ladies. Brother Tim Silvers, his family's right over here. Brother Tim has learned recently that he's got cancer. And don't you think the devil's trying to have a heyday with that? Sure he is. I believe our church family needs to surround them over here, if you don't mind to do that. Come over here to my left, your right. Get around them. Let's pray with them. All of these needs are important, all of them, but I know that's a very special need right there. May God help them. Lord be with you. Now, if you're at the altar, I want you to stay here. We're dealing with people. We're getting some information. I just want you to stay right here with us now. We'll actually dismiss the service from right here at the altar, so if you'll just stay right here at the altar, if you don't mind to do that. Let's sing one more verse, Brother Gary. We'll give these folks a little bit of time, and then we'll be through. Momentarily.
Oh, soul, are you here without comfort or rest? Marching down the rough pathway of time. Thank Jesus, your friend, ere the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept the sweet peace, so sublime.
Stay right where you're at. This is Jonathan Thompson and Sandy Wooten. Brother Steve McNeely and Brother Brad Griffin were out making visits, knocking on doors, and ran into this precious family. God bless you. And both of them, they're at their home, correct? That they're at their home. Both of them accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you're coming to make that public. Not ashamed of it. I'm not either. And anybody that's right with God's not ashamed of it either. Have you happy for them? Say a big amen. We're so thrilled for you. We We've given them a set of our children's books. This is the beginning. You know what this means? It means you're going to see God someday. Amen, brother. You're crying. You're about to make me cry. That's a good sign, you know. Hey, you know what this tells me? They're still out there. Word of God says go. Go. There's a precious family. I want you to stay right there. Our folks will come by and greet you. God bless you. We're so thrilled you're here. God bless you. We're going to pray for the Silvers. God bless you. Hope this message helped you some today. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and thank you for your goodness to us. Help us to be faithful to you. Bless Jonathan and Sandy. Thank you that they've trusted Christ. Thank you for making it public, not being ashamed. Lord, I pray that you help us to be faithful, ministering to them and helping them in a mighty, mighty way. I love you today. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name. If you'll play right over there, let's sing. This will kind of be our way of going out. Glory, glory to the Father. I think it's 166. Glory, glory to the Son. Play it through just a little bit there. Brother Gary, where's he at? He's out there. Let's sing it together. Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the three. If God's in it, you raise your hand. Help yourself. This precious couple up here, Jonathan and Sandy. Let them know you appreciate them and their decision. May the Lord bless you. Be back tonight. Jason Holt, be with us. Be back tonight, 6:30, please.